One of the great things about discovering an artist like Jeff Buckley years after he was around is finding an army of fans on the internet who also love him. One of these people who I've had the pleasure of introducing myself to and meeting via Instagram is with me today. Her name is Mercedes Bean, and she has a fantastic blog called Not With You, But Of You, which is a line from a song which Jeff was unable to finish. Welcome, Mercedes.
Hello, hello, everybody.
What was it that captivated you so that you became so involved in this blog? What was it about him that actually just enthralled you?
Oh boy, well, it's more like, what doesn't enthrall you? The voice is a given, what he could do with it, what he was able to capture with that he was able to command a room full of people with just the voice, either with the band, without the band. It's indescribable, really, unless it's one of those things that you have to hear in order to get it. And he is one of those people that you either get it or you don't. There are some people that don't get it and they're like, they don't get the obsession. There are other people who say, oh, he's so underrated. And I'm like, to me, no, the people that know, the people that will get it will know when it's their time. Mm-hmm. It's just he had, when you say the whole package, he literally was just that. He was funny, he was deep and wise, he was, you know, silly and charming, and the voice, and of course he was very attractive. So when you have that, it's kind of a given when you put it all together, and it can be quite overwhelming, especially when you're first getting into it.
Jeff had some great songs of his own, Mercedes, but he's best known to the general public for his cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. If you met someone new who said, tell me about Jeff Buckley without the covers, which two songs do you think you would choose and say, this represents Jeff for me?
Well, this was actually a question that I posed to one of the Facebook groups not too long ago, and I got a couple of responses that were like, why put him into one? Why try and peg him? Or why try to define him with one song? And I explained that I'm not trying to, of course you can't, because he was so varied. That's another thing about him that captivates me, is the fact that he could literally do just about anything, musically speaking. He was a multi-instrumentalist, as well as that the voice was its own crazy multi-instrumental thing in its own right. But I've always said that Mojo Pin, for me, is a song that encapsulates as much of him as can be done in one song. You have the runs, you have the passion, you have the softness, you have the aggression, you have the, it's a bit rocky, it's got some Middle Eastern influence, it's kind of melodic, it's got a very, very much elements. So to me, that's one of the songs that I think it gives you the most of what he was capable of vocally, mm-hmm. musically, in one song. Mm-hmm. And for a song, if you're more into the more softer, melodic, nicer one, I would say probably, well, of course, if you're doing Bleeding Emotion, you've got Lover, You Should Have Come Over. If you want to do a bit more passion, but it's got a bit more melody in there, you can go with Grace. Of course, if you're a flat-out rocker, you've got Eternal Life. If you're more for the pop, kind of more standard, in quotes, song, as far as he's concerned, you would go with Last Goodbye, which is kind of your more radio-friendly hit. So I would definitely, either one of those, depending on the taste of the person, I would say would be the one to check out most.
Okay. Apart from his voice, Jeff was best known for his incredible live performances, and they've almost become the stuff of mythology now, like a religious experience, the way people talked about Bob Marley or Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. And it was the ferocity of his talent which seemed to really encapsulate something for the audience who were there, lucky enough to be there. And again, mm-hmm. on your blog, you've collected a lot of these live performances, whether they're audio or videos.
Yes.
And if you had this newbie who said to you, Mercedes, tell me two performances that really, for you, capture Jeff, what would they be?
Wow.
I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult.
Wow. Sometimes things do blur into my mind together on which gig is which, considering that there is, at my count, 128, I think I'm up to now, live performances, whether it be video, whether it be audio, shows that he did as gigs, radio stops that he made. I would say video-wise, everybody is most familiar with Live in Chicago, which was officially released by his estate and Sony in 2000. So it just celebrated its anniversary this past week. And in fact, as we record this, tomorrow happens to be the anniversary of that said show. So I would probably, since most people are familiar with that as far as the video performances, I would go with that. The radio performances, wow. I think his Omega Studio one is really good. His Nocturnal Emissions one, which he did on October 23rd, I want to say, of 94, is really good. So you could start there. As far as like the gigs themselves, wow, there's quite a few that stood out to me. The Garage for me is one that's legendary, mainly because of its 20-odd minute kangaroo, which is nearly half an hour, and it's very intense. I think Belvoir is very good. You have his Phoenician show, which, according to his manager, or co-manager, I should say, Dave Laurie, is one that he actually wanted to have be his live album. He stayed behind, I guess, after the gig to work with the people at the radio station that was doing it, Triple J. I guess he was there picking the songs that he wanted, helping to produce and stuff like that. So he was fully involved with that. So that one's kind of special and is also a very good gig. Both of those were done in Australia. The Phoenicia was done in 95, Belvoir in 96. And my other standalone gig was one that was recently given to me about a week ago now. It was done for a French radio station. I want to say it was done on his first trip to France because it was broadcast on January 19th of 95. And that gig is just absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal and stunning. I think it's one of his top performances ever. So there's quite a few, but I would definitely start there.
Of course, as I said, Jeff is known for his covers, and most notably, Hallelujah. And again, if you had to pick two covers that are your personal favorites, that they need not be ones that you consider to be the best, but just your personal favorites, what would you choose?
Well, as a big fan of the Smiths and Morrissey, I adore his covers of their songs, both the Boy with the Thorn in His Side, and of course I Know It's Over, which is probably the one he's most known for. I love his cover of the Susie and the Banshees side project, The Creatures, Killing Time, particularly the one done at the London Astoria in January of 95. And of course there's needless to say, there's Hallelujah, which I love. Mm-hmm. But I do tend to think that it's the one that's most overdone, but it's timeless. So I guess I would start there for the beginners, since that's probably the one that most people are familiar with. If you say Jeff Buckley, automatically that's the thing that comes to mind, if they've mm-hmm. heard of him at all. So I definitely think those would be the three to start with.
And what is your experience of when you say to someone that you meet, oh, I really like Jeff Buckley? Do they tend to know who he is, or don't they?
I did have one conversation. I happened to be talking with a girl, and I mentioned him for whatever the reason, and she had no idea who he was. She was a younger girl. And so I kind of tried not to overwhelm her, because it tends to be with him that it's like a damn first if someone mentions him. But my general feeling is I don't really tend to get a lot of people that know him. Offline, I'm one of the few people that know about him. I do have two offline fans that were familiar with him. And then the rest of the people that I know offline are aware of him because of me. Mm-hmm. But online, I tend to associate a lot of the time with Jeff fans. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they know who he is. But outside, the general thing is a lot of people don't seem to know who he is. They either, or if they do, it's all like, oh, you know, oh, yeah, I've heard of that song. And yeah, most people either know it from Shrek or... Mm-hmm. That's the interesting I've noticed is that a lot of people seem to know that song from Shrek, if not from him. So it's kind of a variation of that.
One of the good things about Jeff's legacy is that he was captured on camera by a particular photographer. You know who I mean. You were lucky enough to meet her recently. So can you tell us a little bit about her work with Jeff for our audience who may not be familiar with it?
Oh, okay. Yes. Mary Sear is who you mean. Mm-hmm. She is, I guess, the person that is most synonymous with capturing Jeff. She was his, I wouldn't say official photographer, but she was kind of his chosen or most used photographer, to the extent of the where I've seen some things be credited to her, which are not actually her photos. She has, I mean, I'm sure most of the fans by now know her photos just by sight because they become synonymous with him. But for those that maybe don't, she does have two books out there called A Wish for a Song and the one that she came out with a few months ago called 25 Years of Grace, which have a good majority of her photography of him in there and of his band. She was there from the beginning. She met him in 92, if I remember correctly. And up until, I believe it was 95, she was maybe 96. She was his photographer. I think she stopped around 95. And friends. So a few months ago in December, he was doing a, for so far, only book signing for this book. In LA, so I was fortunate enough to have the ability to get there and have her sign my book. I was a little wary of what to think, you know, because like, oh my gosh, this person knew Jeff. Oh my gosh, what do I say? And how are they going to be with asking questions about Jeff? And she turned out to be very, you know, engaging and friendly, which pleased me. And it was a good experience. So I highly recommend if you are a fan to check out those books if you are so able to do so and are so inclined. And if not, just search around the web. You know, you'll Pinterest or Tumblr will give you tons and tons of her photos that she took.
And talking of books, considering how short Jeff Buckley's career was, there are a number of biographies of him. And if you, they vary in quality as books always do. Again, if you had to choose one or two that you feel really capture as much as possible of his career and his life, they may not be the full deal, of course, but ones that would give a good overall picture.
As with Jeff, each person has their own view and recollections and things of him. He tended to be the kind of person that was one way with one person, one way with another. He was very mercurial, and he was kind of, I like to liken him to a stained glass window. Inevitably delving into Jeff's life, you will find that there are fragments of things that, while different colors, different shapes and sizes, if you put them together, you'll get the picture. There's a lot more questions than answers. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, we'll probably never know. But I think as far as getting the picture, I would definitely recommend the books Dream Brother by David Brown, which is probably the first biography done in English on him. And then Pure Drop by Jeff Apter, which is, those probably the best known and probably, in my opinion, the best overall view of him to go on. And if you had to pick a third, I would say his Commander Devoy's book, as far as a memoir goes, is a good one. Of course, that one's from his recollections, his perspectives, just being an overall, as the biographies go. But as far as a memoir goes, and somebody who, you know, was, you know, given his perspective, I would go with that one. They're all very good.
One of the joyous things about your Instagram account is that you like to put a quote, usually from Jeff or about Jeff, on your daily photographs of him. And I wondered if there was any particular quote about him that you really like and you feel was just a lovely, lovely one.
His quotes, he's come up with quite a few. I particularly like the ones where he describes the musical experience for him as kind of being under some sort of he likens it to taking ecstasy, and you tell all your secrets, and after the show he's chemically transformed. I do like that one. There was one that I posted earlier where he mentions having, you know, being able to have a bunch of range in your voice but having anything to say, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really mean anything unless you have something to say with it. Mm-hmm. It kind of just deletes the range aspect, which I think is true and very well said. As far as about him, I think along the general lines, it's just describing how he was as a person, hearing the anecdotes of his more human moments, like how he interacted with people. Like one person said how she got a haircut, he would notice that and, you know, compliment her on it or something and touch her hair. And I've heard that he gave good back rubs and things like that. So anything that kind of humanizes him and shows him in an unbiased way, which I know is kind of difficult to do, to show a real true portrait of him as he was as a human being versus his deified Dune's martyr golden boy is the ones that I love most.
Great. And finally, Mercedes, if you, again with this newbie who's saying to you, who is Jeff Buckley, and you've told them which songs to listen to, which books to read and so on, if they said to you, okay, Mercedes, tell me why I should be listening to Jeff Buckley, be interested in Jeff Buckley, why Mercedes? What will they get out of knowing about him and listening to him?
I would say I feel that if you connect with him, either, you know, everybody connects on him differently, as you do with everybody. So I'd say, I would definitely give it a try. If you get it, then no words are necessary. If you don't, then no words will suffice. If you connect with him either musically or as a person or both, you will see. It's life. I mean, everybody says this and it's so dumb to say because it's so cliched sounding, but it's very true that it's almost a religious experience. There's life before Jeff and life after Jeff. And he tends to kind of, you know, obviously he didn't intend that and nobody intends to have that sort of experience with him, but he raises the bar in just about every way. Musically, as a person, he radiated a lot of light and life, and that inner beauty and purity he has or had, see, it's like he's so, and that in itself is why he's still so very present despite his not being present. So that in itself is very, and it's just something that I find incredibly enriching. He makes everything have more like meaning. You see things in a different way, you hear things in a different way, because all of a sudden you're aware of things that could be versus what you may have thought they were before. It's just an all around enriching experience if it's something you connect with and you don't tend to see things the same after that. So to me, that's what you will get out of it if you do connect with it. It's an all around enriching experience. It can be quite a
That's a beautiful way of putting it, Mercedes. And finally, in your own words, tell us the name of your blog and why you chose it.
Well, my blog is Not With You, But Of You. I should say it here. I'm sure you'll put the link somewhere. But it's notwithyoubutofyou.blogspot.com if you're interested in checking it out. The thing is, I chose the song because it means a lot to me. I think it's a beautiful song. The song is We Could Be So Happy If We Wanted To Be. And I chose the song that from the song because it's one of my top 5 songs of his. It's a beautiful song, I thought. And the lyrics speak a lot to me personally. It's almost like me speaking directly to me, even though I know it's not the case. It does feel that he is speaking to me directly because I was born and raised in the same place as Jeff, Orange County, California, which is where I currently live. And me and him have a similar childhood. We both moved around a lot with a single mother. So I very much connected with him on that level when I first started reading about him. So being that that's one of my favorite, and not only that, but there's a line in the song, that is a line in the song, Not With You, But Of You. Mm-hmm. And that to me is something that he is. If you connect with him, if you love him, love his music, he's a part of you, or he becomes in some way a part of you. So not with you, but of you. So I think that's very true. And so I thought when I was searching for the name for the blog, I was like, what am I going to say that's Jeff related and kind of fits? And I thought of that. And then that's what I went with.
And it's also the name of your Instagram account.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Mercedes, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Likewise.
Sharing your thoughts and your feelings about Jeff Buckley.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad to have had the opportunity. You know, hopefully it'll lead to more people getting more interested into him and loving him for who he was and what he did.
I hope so too. Thank you.